Moncrief on News Talk.
If you go to the emergency department of a hospital, you can be waiting for 12 hours or more. Schools have to stage fundraisers to keep their buildings intact. Local authorities hide behind layers of bureaucracy. It's easy to give out. Yet today, in his Examiner column, Fergus Findlay makes the argument that we should be grateful for the public services we have. Fergus, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you?
Have you had a kind of an epiphany where you've changed your opinion about things?
I'm mellowing a little bit. I don't know. I've had a couple of very positive experiences, and they've taught me that. I give out about the public services all the time. I've always believed in public service. I believe they should be efficient. I believe they should be responsive and flexible, and they're often not. The health system gets dog's abuse from everybody, including me. I was on the board of the HSE executive for 5 years, and I still gave out about it all the time in print and there. But I have kind of come to the conclusion that when you need them, they're there. And a couple of recent experiences I've had have suggested to me that even local authorities can be responsive when they have to be. Mm. We're very, very good in Ireland at responding to emergency. We're good as a nation, as a people. COVID, I think, proved that. And I sometimes wish, wouldn't it be great if all public services operated on the basis that it's an emergency all the time? Because they rise to the challenge. Now, some of them, well, like emergency services like the Fire Brigade, they're brilliant in Ireland, absolutely brilliant. I love the library service in Ireland. I think it is a service that is transformative for young people. And I hope it continues strong and so on. But some of the bigger ones, yeah. There's a terrible management problem, in my view. A system that doesn't incentivize managers to be managers and doesn't punish managers who aren't managers. And that can lead to endless problems.
Yeah. Now, can we go through the two experiences you had? One was a recent health issue you had.
I'm now getting to the point of advising everybody not to be 68. and certainly not to be over 68. I never had a sick day in my life. And then at 68, things started falling off. And something else seems to fall off every second year or so. I had a serious health scare in November. I needed urgent treatment. It took a while to get it. I was treated end of March, beginning of April. And the treatment was phenomenal. Absolutely. The care, the courtesy, the sympathy, the information you were given, the way you were talked through, and then the aftercare was absolutely phenomenal. I'm sorry I had to wait as long as I did. And that wasn't all their fault, by the way. Some of it was mine. But when I got in, I couldn't speak highly enough about the care I got. Then I had another recent experience where I spotted, oddly enough, a hole in the road outside my house. Small hole, 8 inches in diameter kind of thing. And I looked in and I could see right to the bottom. I could see 6 foot away at the bottom. And there was nothing there. The only thing between the surface and the bottom of the hole was a single layer of tarmacadam. And I figured this is going to be a sinkhole before very much longer. I went into the house, tried to figure out how to get on the local authority, got onto the website. Within 3 minutes, I had managed to express my concern, emphasise the danger and so on. Later that day, an engineer arrived, decided it was definitely dangerous. Bollards were put up around the hole. The traffic was disrupted for that evening and all through the following day because fellas arrived, lorries arrived. Huge hole was dug, but what had been 8 inches diameter is now 6 foot by 8 foot. A lorry load of hardcore was poured in, another lorry load of tarmacadam arrived, and the hole was made safe, and hopefully made safe for years to come, all within a day. Mm. So when they have to, they can do it. There's absolutely no question. Then I compare that with, I'm chair of a regeneration board in the inner city, and we've been working with the Dublin Local Authority for years and years to try and deliver a plan that everyone has agreed on. And it has been utterly and completely frustrating. But the more I've got to know the people in Dublin County Council, the more I realise that they share exactly the same frustrations. We've built these myriads of processes around local authority procurement, local authority building, that are mind-boggling. We have what they call a Gantt chart for our project, which has, I think, 25 steps of process that have to be gone through before we can apply for planning permission, and another 15 steps of process before we can, with the best will in the world, it's going to take another 2 years, 3 years before we see the necessary cranes on the ground. So something is in the way. Something is in the way of decent people doing decent jobs and in decent time.
Yeah.
And we really need to fix that as well.
Yeah. Now, on the local authority angle of things, is this perhaps the result of decades of creeping centralisation by the government in Dublin, taking power away from local authorities
certainly
to make decisions
quickly? Certainly in the housing area, that is true. Some years ago, the Irish government of the time decided that housing was a commodity that was best delivered by the private sector. And they stripped local authorities of not just of the function, effectively, but also of the capacity. So engineers were fired, planners were fired, architects were fired. And then when they needed the local authorities to ramp up, as, you know, they have been saying for years, they need them to ramp up, there isn't the capacity there anymore. And we have become utterly dependent on the private sector for everything. And the private sector knows how to negotiate to its advantage.
Mm. Yeah. So, but where is there a single place where the log jams are coming from?
No, there isn't. You may remember a couple of years ago, last year was it, the government decided that they wanted to appoint a supremo, a housing supremo, or a housing czar or something. Not only could they not find one that everyone settled on, I think they realised the only housing czar needs to be, if I was the Minister for Housing, let's put it that way, I would have a Monday morning meeting with all the local authority people involved, all the utility people involved, all the water people involved, all the electricity people, and we'd go through the problems one by one. And I've seen this done before. Gareth Fitzgerald used to do it to mix results, but when he got results, he got fantastic results. When the system realises that the Taoiseach wants to see you this morning, but also next Monday and the following Monday and the following Monday, they stop thinking in three-year terms and they start delivering results in weekly or fortnightly terms. And that's what's missing from our system. There's a huge amount of political anxiety, no political drive, absolutely none.
Mm.
All talk.
Yeah, and the political and the anxiety and the drive, is that with politicians?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly, but they're not driving the system. It is possible to summon everyone to your room, if you're the Taoiseach, to summon everyone to your room. I've seen this happen. Our current Taoiseach had a major problem of hunger strikers outside the door at the Dáil.
Mm.
Former survivors of former institutional abuse who went on hunger strike. And he was really sympathetic to them. Really sympathetic. He wanted to do right by them, but he couldn't find a way around the precedents and the processes and the systems. So one Friday night, he summoned the five most senior people in the department and he said, we start talking about this tonight, we talk about it again on Monday night and on Tuesday night if necessary. And by Tuesday night, he had solved it. He worked out solutions to all those problems. Simply by saying, listen, I'm the Taoiseach. I want you to do what is democratically appropriate, but I want you to do it now, not in 6 months' time.
Mm. But that's only in response to people attempting to starve themselves.
It is.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't,
or
we shouldn't
blocking
need,
off roads.
We shouldn't
or that
need
kind of
that drive.
Yeah.
We shouldn't need that sort of imperative. The imperative of quality ought to be driving that. And we have 15 members of the cabinet. They are capable people. They ought to be able to drive towards responses. They're not pushed themselves and they don't push. So at one level, I think it is a major political problem of talk but no action. At another level, we've built a public service which actively disincentivizes risk-taking, better management, cost management and so on. Every year, the Controller and Auditor General publishes a report which identifies department by department by department billions of waste, billions of unspent money, billions of decisions that shouldn't have been made the way they were made and so on. Every year there's a Public Accounts Committee hearing into it. Nobody's ever been suspended, fired, had an increment stopped, told they have to do better. That has never happened as a consequence of this, even though it's all out there in print, in the open. If once a department secretary was told, listen, you wasted a billion that you shouldn't have wasted in that department last year, you're not getting a pay increase next year, and neither is your Secretary General. I promise you that wouldn't happen again.
Yeah. Why doesn't that happen? Are politicians scared of particularly senior civil servants?
Well, scared is maybe the wrong word. I think there's a culture, and I hate using that word culture, because culture means, in one sense, culture means nobody's to blame. Mm. But I think the systems that have grown up are based on lack of accountability in many ways. And there are acts, you know, that protect the public service from being badly treated.
Yeah.
And ministers are supposed to take the blame. But sometimes blame is shared, and sometimes things need to happen. Sometimes people need to be... The occasional kick in the arse never does any harm to anybody.
Yeah. From your time in the HSE, is that a similar problem? Is that a cultural problem?
The HSE... I don't want to speak ill of anything, but the HSE has a fundamental design fault, Sean. It should never have been built the way it was. It runs 55 hospitals, most of them pretty well, not all of them, pretty well. But that only accounts for half of its budget, less than half of its budget. The other half of its budget is supposed to be spent on an enormous range of community services for older people, people with disabilities, people with mental health challenges, and so on. Nobody ever talks about those services, even within the HSE. I was on the board of the HSE for 5 years, and I would say 90% of the emotional energy, the intellectual energy of the board and the senior management was devoted to the crises in hospitals. I don't know if we ever had a serious look at the crisis in disability services or the crisis in older people services, even though those crises exist. And even though the only way they can be managed is by more effective delivery. That has to be driven from the top. But when the top is spending 95% of its time worried, and the minister, by the way, of the day, worried exclusively about hospital waiting lists and people on trolleys, which are things you need to worry about, but you don't spend 95% of your time and 40% of your budget on that. You spend 65% of your time worrying about the things you spend 65% of your budget on, and nobody did that, ever.
And at the same time, the people who are looking after you and the people who are working in emergency departments and run...
Brilliant.
Yeah, they're aware of all that above them.
I would suspect they probably are. I suspect, like, if you give out yards to a doctor about the length of time you've had to wait, you instinctively know he feels exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that you had to wait. The problems in Ireland's emergency departments are not caused by the emergency department. They're caused by the blockages in the rest of the hospital. And everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But getting that fixed requires local management to be strong and national management to be focused and energised about it. And that doesn't exist. It's just not in the system.
Yeah. I'm partially cheered up and partially depressed.
I believe in a concept of management that I call walking around management. I worked years ago in a hospital for people with disabilities with a matron. Tall, slim, elegant. They don't have matrons anymore, by the way. Tall, slim, elegant woman. A woman of immense authority. And she had one rule for her staff. She insisted that they wore comfortable shoes. The only one in the entire organisation who wore stiletto heels was herself. And the reason she wore stiletto heels was because she wanted everyone to know she was nearby.
Yeah.
And the effect it had was profound, profound. A highly motivated workforce, high morale, really efficient, really decent. But they knew when the matron was coming. And it had its effect. We don't have any of that in our systems now.
Yeah.
More stiletto heels.
More stiletto heels. That's the answer to it. Fergus, thanks million for coming to us today. Fergus Finlay there. That piece is in today's Examiner.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.